I am Johnny Massacre, and welcome to the Johnny Massacre Show. This is...
What is it?
I guess it's the Tuesday Morning Massacre. On tonight's show, Joe Rogan backs Michelle Obama to become the president in 2024, while the UK moves to ban cars. Finally for tonight, John Madden sadly dies at the age of 85. Who's fucking with me? Give me a hell yeah! So Joe Rogan apparently has backed Michelle Obama to become the president in 2024. I mean, he makes loads of random comments on his show, and then the mainstream media, not really understanding this newfangled form of entertainment called podcasts that's cutting into their profits because they are stagnant and shit, repeat the news as if it's gospel and he's actually come out and made some kind of big statement. But he did actually say this on his show. Check it out. Mail Online says, "I believe if she runs, she wins. Joe Rogan backs former First Lady Michelle Obama to win against Trump if she decides to run for the 2024 presidential election, unless she backs lockdowns and mandates." What do you think, Massacre friends? Do you think that Michelle Obama has a real chance of actually becoming president in 2024? The article says, "Comedian predicted Obama could line up with Kamala Harris as running mate. Rogan says, only thing that could stop Michelle Obama would be if she backed lockdowns. But Joe suggested super team of Trump and DeSantis could also be a winner. Comes amid poor approval for Biden and rumors DNC will back another runner." So you want to hear what Joe Rogan said? Let's not listen to the Daily Mail, their slant. Let's actually listen to exactly what Joe Rogan said. Here we go.
I really believe if Michelle Obama runs,
she wins.
Yeah. I think she wins.
She's good.
She's great.
Yeah,
she's intelligent.
Yeah.
She's articulate. She's the wife of the best president that we have had in our lifetime in terms of like a representative of intelligent, articulate people. She could win.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that would stop is if she bought into some of these policies that are destroying businesses in America that make people...
Okay, so I think he at least said that she's intelligent. I mean, I've seen her make a few speeches. I definitely wasn't super impressed by her intelligence. There's other people who I think are far more intelligent who actually side by side make her look kind of stupid by comparison, such as Jordan B. Peterson, Ben Shapiro, people like that, modern day intellectuals. He made some comment about how she's a representative of the best president we've ever had in terms of being articulate and stuff. Obama was pretty articulate, but he didn't really say a whole lot. I mean, going up there and being like, so it's like this and so it's like that, and being charming, and all the guilty white people go, yay, like this, it's not really going to make a good president. You've got to have good policies. And in my opinion, Obama started this whole woke shit. He validated BLM. He had people associated with BLM who is literally Marxists who want to turn America into a communist shithole into the White House. And he's the one who oversaw the transgender bathrooms, igniting this whole debate and transgender movement that's incredibly aggressive and seeks to silence anyone who they disagree with. Now you see that manifesting in Biden's own cabinet. You got Rachel Levine, who's his assistant health secretary. And if you criticize that person, that man who thinks they're a woman, then you're going to be called a transphobe. And so this whole dynamic of victimizing people and exploiting them for your own political gain, I think Obama started. So I wouldn't say he was a particularly good president at all. And I don't think you can give me one Obama quote where he actually ever said anything good. Can you? Please leave it in the comments. So Joe Rogan said that. He actually said that he thinks Michelle Obama could become the president. I mean, you want to see her public speaking? This is just a random excerpt of Michelle Obama. What do you think? Is she president material?
This November, when we go to the polls, that is what we're deciding.
She's got like a huge underbite. It's like a pike, right? Do you remember those fish that you catch in the river in England? You won't remember them if you're in America. Do you have pikes in America? And they're really, I mean, I don't want to be too harsh on Michelle, but they're fucking ugly, right? They've got this huge underbite. Ooh. If the fish could make a sound, it would just go ooh like this because it looks like it's straining with this underbite. Michelle's got quite a massive underbite. Let's have a look at what a pike looks like. If I'm not mistaken, it looks just like me. It does. It looks like Michelle Obama. Look at it. It's pretty fucking similar, isn't it? You see what I'm saying? See? It's got this huge fucking underbite. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, she looks like a pike, and the speech, it's all right. I mean, she's got balls to stand up there and talk in front of all those people. Of course, she's backed by the system, but for anyone to do that, you've got to have balls. So she could do it. You know, she's been up there giving speeches for a while, and you need to be able to go up there and give speeches if you're going to be president. But honestly, if she gets into power, fucking hell, you're going to see woke-tacular madness, bruv. This is a comment she was making about white people back in October 2019, October the 30th, just in time for Halloween.
But unbeknownst to us, we grew up in the period, as I write, called white flight. That as families like ours, upstanding families like ours, you know, who were doing everything we were supposed to do and better, as we moved in, white folks moved out because they were afraid.
This is completely insane. And this just exposes her as a Marxist, where everyone's a victim and there's oppressors versus oppressed, and we have to tear down the whole system in the name of some bullshit that we've just literally made up. So she's saying we're upstanding, we moved in, and the only reason people moved out is because they're black. That is such a fucking lie. I've never met any white person in my entire life who said, fucking hell, man, some black people moved in next door. They're upstanding and really nice, but I've got to fucking move. I've got to go through that whole rigmarole of moving out of my fucking house and uprooting my children and my whole life just because some black people moved in next door. No one is fucking doing that. No one is doing that. But this is the leftist ideology. They just have to say there's loads of victims and we're oppressed. And it's I'm not saying that there isn't racism out there and there aren't issues that happen, but to suggest that widespread white people are moving out because their neighbors are black is just, it's just bullshit. It's just a lie. So she says all kinds of crazy stuff like that. So you can imagine what it's going to be like if she actually becomes president, as Joe Rogan suggests could actually happen. Now, speaking of Joe Rogan, he has had a concert cancelled in Canada because he's unvaccinated. Can you fucking Adam and Eve it, mate? Over on the Globe and Mail, bruv, it says Vancouver appearance by unvaccinated superstar podcaster Joe Rogan is cancelled. A scheduled appearance next year by Joe Rogan at Vancouver's Rogers Arena has been scrapped. The contentious American comedian and podcasting superstar alluded to the cancellation on a recent episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, suggesting that his unvaccinated status was an issue. Quote, I should probably say this because I haven't yet. My 420 show that sold out in Vancouver, I don't think that's happening, Rogan said on December the 24th. I don't think I can even get into the country. I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated. I have antibodies. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think I can go. So, I mean, maybe it was cancelled for another reason, but I doubt it because it's sold out and these people want to make money. So in light of this, in light of Joe Rogan obviously being cancelled from going into Canada, I'm going to now show you some statistics which totally back up why you cancel someone for being unvaccinated, because the venue obviously made the right decision. If you're unvaccinated, it's super, super dangerous, right? So let's look on Twitter. Ian MSC says, how it started. He highlights a news article that says UCLA football about 98% vaccinated. Ooh, that means that UCLA football is not going to have any problems with COVID like they're going to have in this venue if dirty, unclean, natural immunity-ridden Joe Rogan arrives. But then just a few months later, the news article came out that said Holiday Bowl is cancelled due to COVID-19 issues with UCLA. What? But 98% of them were vaccinated. How can that be possible? Meanwhile, over in Australia, Dr. Ellie David says, how it started. I do like these. How it started, how it's going. How it started. So many months ago, they said, Australia has almost eliminated the coronavirus by putting faith in the science. Then, not many months later, case rates explode in Australia, the highest case rates of all time. My, looking at that graph, it almost seems as if it's kind of impossible to stop case rates regardless of what happens. And if you try to lock down, you're just going to abuse people. And when you open up, it's going to fucking happen anyways. But it kind of looks like that. But it can't be like that, can it? Because the vaccines are amazing. And there must be something wrong with these graphs. And we should ban Joe Rogan from going to Canada because, well, he's dangerous and unvaccinated. Unlike all these vaccinated people in countries where cases are exploding. Anyways, it doesn't have to make sense, does it? Other information that shows Canada should definitely cancel Joe Rogan from coming. Ian, again, on Twitter, shows Marin County, where he says 95% of the entire population at least partially vaccinated and a mask mandate has reached a new high for cases in 2021. And yet highest cases of all time with over 90% of people vaccinated. Other news substantiating Joe Rogan's ban from this venue because he's unvaccinated comes again from Dr. Ellie David. He says mask mandate and COVID passports pretty effective in France. So they have their highest amount of cases ever with vaccine mandates and shitloads of people vaccinated. Now, Ian Emmercy again on Twitter, he shows Florida versus New York. He says cases in New York State are now higher than they've ever been in Florida, despite all of New York's mask mandates, vaccine passports, and media praise. Look at this. Highest ever case rates in New York, and New York has a mask mandate, Florida doesn't. New York has a series of universal measures, mask measures to slow the spread, and they have a vaccine mandate, and they have vaccine passports, and they have more cases than New York. But unvaccinated Joe Rogan, he can't get into Canada. All right, fine. Michael P. Senger over on Twitter highlights an Ian Emmercy graph, which we've just shown, and it just incorporates vaccine passports, and so on and so on and so on and so on. You get the picture, massacre friends. So the point is, in the most heavily regulated places on Earth, with the most mandates, the most vaccines, the most precautionary measures, they seem to have the highest case rates in comparison to places like Florida, where they don't have the highest case rates. And yet, in spite of that data, they're banning Joe Rogan like it's going to make a fucking difference. But I say do it. I say do it. Take the vaccine, take millions with them, and do exactly what the government say, because they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing so much that they've completely stopped the coronavirus like they promised, right? So, there you go. You really can't make it up, can you? I am Johnny Masker, and if you're just joining us, we are discussing Joe Rogan saying that he believes Michelle Obama can win the presidential race if she runs in 2024, and Joe Rogan getting banned from a performance in Canada. But if you've been watching from the beginning, stop your grinning and drop your linen, donate some cash, and let's keep winning. Streamlabs.com/Johnny Massacre. The more you donate, the more of these videos you are going to get. Massacre friends, we had a $20 donation from my good friend Steven Suarez, who says, left over from my Christmas bonus. Happy to share. Happy New Year, bud. Happy New Year to you too, Stephen. We had a $100 donation. Woo! From Patriot Scream. He says, welcome back, Johnny. Merry Christmas. And a happy and prosperous New Year. Ha! Ta! Crom laughs at your four wins. Brilliant, mate. Brilliant, mate. Patriot Scream, I love you. Thank you so much. That paid for my haircut today, so your donation goes straight into my life. Thank you so much, really appreciate it. In other news for tonight, apparently the UK, they're moving to ban cars. Now I heard fucking hell, oh man, I love the news cycle, it's just amazing. So Jordan B. Peterson brought this to my attention on the Twitters. He said, no, it's bloody awful, this is utterly reprehensible, and a taste of all things climate to come. How much climate space are you occupying? And he linked to an article that says this. Yahoo News, UK inches closer to eliminating private car ownership. Soon Brits will own nothing and be happier for it. Now that sentence is referencing the World Economic Forum, who are a bunch of unelected bureaucrats funded by billionaires who are influencing governments all around the world to make policies that quite simply parallel communism. The article says, and it's amazing this is on Yahoo News. So Yahoo News, courtesy of Stephen Symes, hasn't actually 100% 4% fall into wokeness. I can't believe this is on Yahoo News. He says, UK government transport minister Trudy Harrison recently spoke at a mobility conference addressing the future of personal mobility. In her comments, she said it was necessary to ditch the 20th century thinking centered around private vehicle ownership and towards greater flexibility with personal choice and low carbon shared transport. So this is incredibly Orwellian. In George Orwell's book, Why I Write, he says people who want to obfuscate what they say and lie, mainly politicians, they use big words and Weasley vocabulary to kind of distract what they're trying to talk about. You're talking about cars, bitch, and you're calling it a mobility conference. That's very Orwellian indeed. And how Orwellian is this? She's saying you need to ban cars with personal choice as a focus. Does that mean if I throw all my money away, I'm going to be rich? And does that mean if I let you punch me in the face, it's going to heal me? These are completely opposite, conflicting sentences. You don't have any private ownership and you've got personal choice. Those things don't come together. And that's why it's Orwellian. In George Orwell's 1984, the totalitarian system often says conflicting things and opposite things in sentences, such as war is peace and things like that. And in the same manner, these motherfuckers over in UK are saying having no private ownership is personal choice. It just means they're lying and they're totalitarian. So apparently this is the UK transport minister is talking about that. Harrison went on to praise not only public transportation, but also bike share services, e-scooters and ride-sharing platforms. Oh, all things the government gets its big tendrils into in its bid to centralise and become a huge bloated monster that manages your life from cradle to grave. I see all those sharing services owned by the government, tracked by the government. Very interesting. All those ride-sharing platforms. Uber was amazing before the government got involved, and then they got involved, and then it's fucked, and there's basically no money in it anymore. The more the government get involved, the worse things become, and soon they're going to nick your fucking cars, and the only cars you'll be able to ride are self-driving ones that monitor you wherever you fucking go. You don't think they're going to take that data? That data, in my opinion, will be linked with your digital ID and social credit score. There will be no fucking escape. You want to get in your car and go somewhere to get away from the government? No, you can't. Access denied because you voted for Orange Hitler. The article continues, as with all choices, this comes at a cost, particularly for those living in rural areas. So there you go. They're talking about it, and I'm not surprised. So in the beginning, it was coronavirus. You can't go here, you can't go there because of coronavirus. Next, it is going to be carbon emissions. You have released too many carbon emissions. Ding! You can't leave your house today. You can't go to a restaurant. Then it's going to be, you tried to go somewhere without the government's permission. Ding! Now you cannot socialize with your friends, and you cannot use your bank account. This is ultimately where it will go. You can see it gets slowly, progressively more ridiculous until the point this kind of government with powers unchecked due to emergency powers because of coronavirus and climate change will just become madness, pure madness. You need some counterbalance to this, and I just simply can't see where it's coming from. Maybe Michelle Obama's going to save us in 2024. Actually, it's probably more likely someone like Joe Rogan. But there you go. So the UK are thinking about banning cars. Fucking amazing. Can't wait for that. And you wonder why I ride a cunting skateboard. I fucking knew it. I knew it from the beginning. This was going to happen. Swear. Finally for tonight. John Madden dies at the age of 85. A legend within the world of NFL. So Foxy Fox News says, John Madden's unexpected death shakes up NFL world. Madden was recently featured on a Fox Sports documentary. John Madden's death on Tuesday appeared to resonate with several celebrities, sports figures, and entertainers as they took to social media to remember the legend, head coach, and face of the Madden NFL video game franchise. Madden, whose cause of death was not immediately revealed, died at the age of 85. He rose to fame as coach of the Oakland Raiders, making it to 7 AFC title games and winning the Super Bowl after the 1976 season. John Madden is the greatest and most influential sports broadcaster of all time. Political commentator and sports journalist Clay Travis wrote in a tweet, "An absolute legend of sports. People will be playing the video games named after him, generations to come." Now, John Madden, according to Wikipedia, did a lot of fucking amazing shit. Head coach of Oakland Raiders for 10 seasons. Helped them to a championship in Super Bowl 11 in 1977. And after retiring from coaching, he served as a color commentator for NFL telecast until 2009, work for which he won 16 Sports Emmy Awards. He is the absolute man. And an interesting thing about Madden is he wasn't someone who actually played, I believe. He just went straight into the game. And that for me is really interesting because in football, and you call it soccer in the States, football, mate, a lot of managers are ex-players, but Madden wasn't. And that just to me is intriguing. So someone who's never really played the game is fucking amazing at managing people who play the game. So I just wanted to point that out. I do find that rather interesting. And I think that speaks to his genius and is really inspirational. So maybe you don't have to have a lot of hands-on experience doing something for you to be actually good at it or even managing people doing that thing. Isn't that kind of interesting? I think it is. So John Madden, for me, is the face of the video game series. So if it hadn't been for that video game series, I wouldn't know who he was. And I loved playing those games. John Madden, NFL, back in the day on the Sega Mega Drive. Fucking amazing. I loved it so much. So many warm memories of playing John Madden's NFL games with my cousin, who I love. If you're watching, Jamie, I love you. And I really cherish those memories of playing video games with you when I was a kid. John Madden, I didn't even know the rules of NFL, but because of the video game, I got into it. So thanks to John Madden and his licensing, I got into it. And those games were fucking massive. Those were the first really, really serious sports games where graphics started to become better and the limits of the technology didn't really hamper the realism and gameplay experience. It really felt like you were running around a pitch, even though it was quite rudimentary. It was revolutionary. And it was just awesome. You want to see a little bit of the games that John Madden had his face on and was sponsored by? Let me show you. So this is John Madden Football. This is the first ever John Madden game on the Sega Genesis. The sports games on the Sega Genesis were part of the reason it was so successful. Sega went hard with the sports licensing, and that's become the modern standard and model where everyone's just releasing sports games year after year. It was games like Madden that popularized that trend. So here is John Madden Football 1990 on the Sega Genesis. Look at it! So the music, very characteristic of the console. It sounds like this and all gritty and abrasive because it's using a form of synthesis known as frequency modulation synthesis, or better known as FM synthesis, which is basically synthesizer oscillators that are being heavily modulated. And it gives it this quirky kind of sound that defines this era. If you had a Sega Mega Drive, you'll remember this aesthetic of sound. And so it's very endearing and nostalgic for me. And the Sega Mega Drive sound chip was based on the Yamaha DX7 hardware synthesizer, which was based on FM synthesis and frequency modulation, unlike its rival, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System sound chip, which was a bit different and wasn't this abrasive and didn't feature FM or frequency modulation synthesis. So let's have a look at the game. Now, maybe it's just my nostalgia, but that ambient hiss of white noise, which is supposed to represent the crowd noise, seems really relaxing and kind of chills me out. I used to love that. Now, no silly music and stuff, just the cool kind of ebb and flow of the white noise of the crowd. I just really liked that as a kid, and it kind of made me feel relaxed and just happy. I don't know why, but it was really smart. And think of that, making a crowd noise, you just use a basic kind of white noise sound, but you actually make it kind of soothing and therapeutic. Big up the sound designers of the John Madden franchise. I love this. So even British people who didn't like NFL loved that. The sound effects are... I remember it used to make my dad laugh and the kids liked it as well. And through John Madden, I was able to learn about a few different NFL kind of moves and stuff. One is the Hail Mary. Everyone knows that. That's a classic sporting idiom. to explain a last ditch attempt at doing something which is a massive risk, but if you win, it's a huge reward. It's just throwing the ball as hard as you can down the pitch. I was introduced to the Hail Mary through this game, John Madden's game, and I was also introduced to kind of an obscure thing called the HB toss right. I don't know what HB stands for, and there are certainly sexual connotations in this move, but the HB toss right is when the quarterback gets the ball and he just pops it to the right. Someone grabs it and tries to run down the wing, and we always used to smash that, me and my cousin playing John Madden. So I want to say, John Madden, rest in peace. I knew you mostly for the video games, but it seems like in light of the outpouring of emotion and well wishes online, you seem like a good dude as well. So I want to thank John Madden for all the great memories he gave me with my cousin when I was young playing his video game. That's pretty much it for tonight. Please donate generously if you can. We got two nights to go. It is now the 29th in Tokyo. We got two nights to go until next year. If we can hit the target below, it's going to make a huge, huge difference for me. YouTube banned me for 2 weeks just as I was about to make my appeal for some funding for the channel to keep making these videos on a daily basis. And that was a shock. That's not what I wanted, but I swallowed it. That's what she says. And I'm back. And I'm hoping we can make up for lost time and you can show YouTube how you feel about them banning me by the amount that you donate below. I've been Johnny Massacre, and I tell you what, mates, you better be back for the next episode or I'll be coming round your house. Please make sure to like and subscribe and hit that notification bell, because that is what all those other cunts tell you to do. Laters.